Yay. Okay. So we have a good. Okay. Awesome. All right. Rules of the road. If you haven't been here before, or if it's been a long time, we ask you to please mute your line unless you're sharing. You're welcome to unmute if you have a question or you're sharing. There's a chat. You can just ask questions there. We will answer them. Ask for help, tips, and advice. Contribute to the conversation. Suggest topics for discussion. We always want to talk about things that are of interest to you guys. So if there's something that we haven't discussed that you really have questions about, please let us know and we'll put it on the agenda. You can switch the screen. Remember that our private portal is at www. Be sure to put the www in there. I know that's a hassle. Homecaremarketingmastermind.com. That's your email address, is your username, whatever email address you're receiving all these reminders at, that's your username. And whatever was emailed to you is the password. If you don't know it, just use the forgot your password feature. And if that doesn't work, hit us up at support and we will help you. Okay. There
All
you
right,
go.
so we're going to get started. Last week we covered some of the five impressions to get that referral. So one was trust, building trust, and two was building confidence. Today we're going to cover building camaraderie in person and online. Impression four is proving reliability in person and online. And impression five, asking for the business. Valerie's going to discuss case management week and all the good online stuff. And then we'll go through where's that handout again, short review of where to find stuff. And again, reminding you, we have a private Facebook group just for you. That's the link there below. And just ask to join and we'll let you in. If you have sent somebody there and we don't recognize them, we probably are not going to let them in the group. It is a private group. So please let us know. Let us know that you're going, you've invited some people so that we know to accept them. All right, so we're going to go jump right in. I need to move some things out of my way here. So five impressions to get that referral. The referrals, again, we talked about this last week. It's a process. So it doesn't usually happen the first time you meet somebody. And you're going to move from impression to impression and have a strong foundation. So we kind of went through this already last week. I just wanted to put that up there again. So the first impression again was the trust. Second impression was confidence. Again, you can move through these in one visit. Maybe you have a 10, 15, 20-minute visit. You might be able to go through all of the impressions in one quick visit. I find it takes time usually. The online presence helps with this because if you have newsletters going out, blogs on your website, your social media is full of like trust and confidence content, that's going to go a long way. And it serves as an impression when you are not in front of them. You can't be in front of them all the time. We've talked about being out there every 8 to 10 days. That's not always going to be a face-to-face. Don't count on it being a face-to-face. Don't be disappointed if it's not. You probably should try to have a face-to-face at least monthly with everybody. So let's talk about camaraderie. So camaraderie is the spirit of good friendship and loyalty among members of a group that work toward a common goal. I was trying to figure out what to call this because it really is, you're kind of tag teaming, you're the same, right? You're adding this, it's like a partnership. So it is kind of a camaraderie and good spirit because there is a little bit of behind the scenes kind of stuff going on. This one's going to be tough for you, Dawn. I've heard that a million times. I don't know if you're going to be able to get this one to sign up. They're very resistant to care. So there is a little bit, it is a spirit of good friendship. So that's the best I could come up with what that feels like. So to build camaraderie and have this back and forth, you have to focus on building a relationship and not focus on the referrals. I know we really are doing this because we want the referrals. We want to grow this business, right? And if you're in marketing, you want to hit your goals. And so it's hard to not think about the referral and you've got them. Maybe this is the only face-to-face I'm going to get in an entire month or 3 months. I should just go right at it. Really not the best way to go about it. You really need to build this strong foundation and have a relationship with them. So don't focus on the referrals, focus on the relationship. So you've built trust, you've built confidence with this referral source. Each one of these impressions is a step to building a relationship with them. The ultimate goal is not the referrals. The ultimate goal right now in this impression is to continue to build the relationship. If the relationship is strong, the referrals will come. And you just have to believe that in your hearts of hearts that that's how it works, because it is. That is exactly how it's going to work. So to build camaraderie with someone, you have to find common ground. You and your referral sources are in the same business. You really need to understand that. When I would go out there, sometimes I would feel like, well, they're a social worker, or they're a nurse, or they're a physical therapist. You know, I'm non-medical. I don't know what they know. And you don't, but you know what you know, home care, and they don't know that piece. So I kind of see it as like a, you know, like a five prong or like a circle with a bunch of prongs. You're one of the prongs in the senior's life, in their care plan, their care journey that they're having. So what you're doing is just as important as what they're doing, and they need you. So once you realize this and you behave in this manner, it'll change your relationship with them. They may be a social worker, nurse, PT, is that a social worker, nurse, physical therapist, case manager. It doesn't matter. You are all in the same senior care business. You have the same end goal. It's to increase the well-being of every senior you can. So during this impression, you are moving from source to partner. That's what needs to happen during this impression. So you were just a source to them. This is a home care company that I know. You want to move into the partner. You want to be their partner now. So just like the nurse is to the social worker down the hall, that's what you want to be. You are their partner. Regardless of where the senior is in their care journey, you will be called because you are their partner now. Just like they call the nurse. If the social worker goes in and the patient's not looking so good, they're going to have the nurse come in and check on the patient. That's their partner. So you're going to be the person they call when their seniors need home care. Another piece of this is to be completely open with them. Give your partner a way to reach you personally. Give them your cell phone number. If you're a marketing rep, it's really important that your voicemail, and even if you're the owner, whoever's doing the signing or who's out there doing the marketing, it's very important that you give them the office number and then it's in your voicemail. If you're one of our clients and you're using the CRM for your phone number, everybody can get from your company can get into the CRM. They're going to see those texts coming through. So that's a great way to prevent a referral going into somebody's voicemail or text on their cell phone, their private cell phone. So make sure that your voicemail says, call the office. If you can't reach me, I'm with clients all day. You know, I'll get right back to you. But if you need something right now, please call the office. But a partner should be able to reach you in an easier, more effective way than just some other person, right? Than some other colleague. They should feel special about this. You could even say, I don't usually give out my number, but it's very important that you tell, I don't usually get my number, but here I'm giving it to you. They feel special. But again, make sure that if they can't reach you, they call the office. Save their work number in your phone that day. So maybe you've talked to them, they haven't given you their cell phone number, and that's okay. But you have the work number of the skilled nursing facility, right? You have that. It's on their business card. Or maybe they have their own direct line. Put in your cell phone before you leave. I've trained myself in the parking lot to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of before I leave the facility. The reason for this is when they call you, you want to say, hi, Becky. You want to answer the phone knowing who they are. They love this. It builds to the relationship. And if they do give you their cell phone number, put that in also and put their name on there so that when they text, you know who they are. They don't have to say, this is Becky. You know that you're talking to Becky. The worst thing you can do to someone you're trying to build a relationship with when they text you is say, who is this? Right? I mean, that's not a good thing. So program their numbers into your cell phone. It'll help you too, because if you're waiting for a call back from them down the road, maybe there's an adult child you're sitting in front of and you're trying to get their parent, you know, they're going to be discharging. You're trying to find out the discharge day and they're calling you, even though they're down the hall, maybe they don't know you're in the building. You'll know, I got to get this. This is an important call because I'm waiting for her call. So in the parking lot before you leave, even if you didn't talk to them, you have their business card, start programming, saving their phone number into your contacts. Okay. So the fourth impression is to prove reliability. So there are two kinds of reliability that need to be proven and one action that needs to be taken. So you have to first prove your reliability as a human being, as a person, someone they can count on. And then you have to prove the product, your service's reliability. And the action to take to prove reliability is always follow up. You have to follow up. So we'll go into it. Does anybody have any questions so far? Feel free to put it in the chat if you do.
We have a few. I've just talked to John Good and he told us he received his kit that we sent, the marketing kit for October. Oh. Yay. Okay. Well, and he had a topic for a future mastermind meeting. Oh. Which is the good one. How can my marketer train our caregivers to be better marketers of our company? We have monthly in-service meetings and she speaks at a Domo team Facebook page. So I think that's a great topic for the future. Everybody in your organization should be your marketer.
Yes, that's a great topic.
Especially the person that answers the phone. anyway, okay, yeah, good. That's it so far.
We will put that one in for sure. Okay, so moving on to reliability. This is your reliability as a human being, a person. You're the first point of contact for your company, right? It's you. With this comes a tremendous amount of responsibility. If you aren't reliable with your professional performance, their impression of your company will be that the company is not reliable either. And owners, if you're hiring a marketing person, they have to follow through. And I think that is the hardest balance, right? Is that a marketing person who's good with this job and flexible enough to bounce all day, because that's what they're doing, right? They are just flying by the seat of their pants all day. It is hard to find a person that is okay with that and also will follow through. I don't want to say it's a unicorn, that can be the challenge. If they're great at selling and they're great at marketing and they're having trouble with the follow through, you may have to work with them on calendars and reminders and, you know, and stopping, because they want to just run and see as many people as they can, right? It's a numbers game. The more people I see, the more referrals I'm going to get. And it's just going to be wonderful. But they have to remember to slow down, take notes in the parking lot, set a reminder, set an alarm, whatever it's going to take, so that whatever they just discussed with this person gets done. Because that will blow things faster than anything else, is that if you don't follow through. So make sure if you're marketing that you're doing that. And if you're an owner, you have to make sure that whoever you're hiring can do that. And if they can't, to give them the tools to assist with this, because it's really important. So how do you prove that you're responsible? You respond to emails and phone calls in a timely fashion, even when you don't have the answer, the response, right? Maybe they've asked you something and you don't know the answer. Don't just let that email sit there until you have the answer. It may be days and they don't know if you ever received it. So always let them know you're researching and you will get back to them. Don't leave them hanging while you're searching for an answer. It's always better to say, got your email, I'm looking into it, I will email you as soon as I have an answer. Much better than nothing for 3 days. They're going to move on and you haven't proven to be reliable when you're not responsive. Always be on time for meetings. I had a marketer who was late all the time. It drove me crazy. I had referral sources calling me and telling me that she was late. And so I showed up at one of her in-services and she wasn't there on time, but I was. And that gave me the opportunity, you know, to have this conversation with her. They're waiting for you in there. You know, they have this much time to meet with you and they're all there waiting for you and you're not here. I was there, took care of it. You know, she eventually got there and then we had our conversation. So, you know, value people's time. That's also in the trust piece of this, but always be on time to meetings. Own up to your mistakes right away. Even if a mistake is made by someone in the office and it's not your mistake, I'm so sorry that happened, but I can assure you it won't happen again. If it is your mistake, make no excuses. Just own up to it, apologize, and move on. There's nothing wrong with that. Making excuses and you know, well, it only happened because of it. That's not helping prove reliability. Just own up to it and move on. Be there. This is a really hard one to swallow. Be there when the customer is unhappy with you or your company. The referral source maybe got wind from a client that your caregiver no-showed. You know, maybe your caregiver's working bedside sitting in the SNF and took a 1 hour break without telling anybody. Something's happened and they're unhappy. The human nature is to hide. I'm not going back there. I don't need referrals from them. It wasn't that great anyway. You can talk yourself out of that all day long, but you really just need to hit it head on, be open to hear it. Customers are often most clear and honest when they are unhappy or angry. It's actually an opportunity to really connect with them from an honest place, because all the onion layers are gone, right? Everything's torn off. You're just standing there waiting for it. And that's okay. You can actually connect at an honest place if you handle it right. Don't run and hide. People hate that. And you definitely will not be looked down as reliable if you do. The next thing is to prove your product or service's reliability. The company's reliability will be tested once your reliability has been proven. So I've seen this time and time again. This is why we're consistent in the build. They want to make sure a real person, you're going to show up time and time again. You're not going to be one and done. That happens a lot. People think, oh, I made a great connection with her. I never have to go back. She's going to start referring. Or, you know, all the marketers that come and go, you know, I've had social workers tell me, God, this one company's had like 6 marketers in the last 3-4 months. It's just so exhausting to have to meet them all. So that's where you're proving your reliability. You're being consistent and you're showing up and you're doing all the right things. Once they trust that, now they're going to start listening about your company. Okay, she's okay. She's showing up. She's doing all the right things. So think about the things your company offers that shouts reliability. A handout regarding some or all of these items should be handed out during this impression. So the caregiver training, we made all those caregiver training guides for you. There's, I think, 13, Valerie. We've got like 13 of them.
Yep.
Alzheimer's, hip replacement, stroke, all kinds, all chemotherapy, cancer, all kinds of them. They're in the portal. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, you know, ask us in the chat, send us a support ticket. We'll point you in the right direction. Those are great handouts to prove reliability. Talk about your caregiver retention rate if it's good. I know that our industry has a very high turnover in caregivers. It's just the way, and everybody knows this. So if you have a good retention rate, tell the industry standard and then tell them yours. If it's better than that, by a lot, especially tell them. But make sure you're telling them the industry standard, because they may think, well, that's not very good. But in our industry, it's probably very good. So your retention rate can shout reliability because, you know, they have turnover in their facilities. They have turnover in assisted living. Their staff turns over a lot too. And so they know that the seniors need that same caregiver there every day. It's really important. So if they see your retention rate is high, that's going to help them to feel like you're reliable. Your caregiver screening can also make you look more reliable. What are you doing to screen your caregivers? The fact that you're available 24/7, huge. I know that we just take this stuff for granted because all home care companies are open 24/7. You can reach somebody, but they aren't open 24/7. I mean, they're, I guess a facility is, but you're not going to be able to reach somebody probably live. Most businesses don't operate that way. So that is proving reliability. You've been in business over 10 years, over 5 years. Shout it from the rooftops. That's big. It's reliable. Quality assurance visits. What are you doing? You go out and surprise pop-in visits on the client and the caregiver. What's going on in the home? That's great. I mean, they would love to hear about that. We had QA, quality insurance people at my last company, and they would start the job with the caregiver, make sure everybody was happy, and then they would just pop in visits. And it was served a lot of purposes. Is the caregiver dressed appropriately? Is the caregiver doing what they're supposed to be doing? Is the house a mess and we're doing housekeeping? You know, that proves reliability, that you're checking in on yourself. That's big. That's huge. What's your backup plan if the caregiver no-shows because of an accident or is ill or is out? You have a backup plan, share the backup plan with them. Other companies may not be doing that. That might be your competitive edge. Anything and everything that tells them the company has it covered and the buck stops here, that shouts reliability to your referral sources. So the third thing was the action. What action can you take to help with reliability? So follow up with them regarding all referrals. It's time to start planting the seed of why you're coming to see them. I actually had somebody, you know, say to me one time, I finally got the nerve to ask her for the business. And she goes, oh, that's why you've been coming in. I don't know. My message must not have been great up to that point. So anyway, it's time to start planting the seed of why you're coming to see them. So you start having the conversation about referrals. Would they like a follow-up on a patient or resident that they send you? If yes, how would they like the follow-up? Text, email, call, written hand note. If no, some of them are going to go, God, no, I have 100 patients out there. Are you kidding me? There's no way. I'm giving this person to you because I can't, I'm done. They're discharging. They're yours, right? There are going to be a lot that are like that, but there are a lot that aren't that way. So if they say they want follow-up, make sure that you're doing it. Make sure that when they say, I want to text as follow-up, that you're not calling them for the follow-up. When they say, I want a written note for the follow-up that maybe they want to put in their file, don't call them with a follow-up. So they say want to follow up, make sure you follow up. And however they would like to follow up, make sure you do it just like that. So look at that. You just set the stage for the next impression of asking for the business. You've set, you know, the ball is rolling now. You've talked about referrals. How did you do that? You let them know you're expecting them to refer to you at some point. You confirm their expectations when they do. All the other impressions must have happened before you do this. So make sure they trust you. Make sure confidence was built. Make sure the reliability is working. And now you're setting the stage. Make sure that you are entering whether they want follow-up in your CRM and what kind of follow-up they want in their CRM. I know you think you're going to remember. I promise you, you won't remember. You're not going to remember. You won't even remember. Some of you are out there with pumpkins here. Pretty soon you'll be out there with pumpkins. You won't remember if Mary got a pumpkin. Did I drop Mary off the pump? You're not going to remember. You're just busy and it all just starts to blend together. So be sure you're entering all your information. If you don't have a CRM, put it somewhere where you can go back and refer from your car and know what you did last with Mary. So now if you are reliable and you show now that you can follow directions, follow-up should happen right after the assessment. So if they've said to you, yes, I want the follow-up, get it to them immediately. You finish the assessment, don't leave the driveway parking and, you know, down the street, wherever you've parked. If they want a text or a phone call and email, do that before you leave because you're going to get busy with the next thing. Tell them. Some of them want to know everything. You know, ask them, what would you like to know? Would you like to know how many days they signed up? Would you like to just know they did sign up? What would you like to know? And ask them if there's anything else they want to know and listen to that. There may be a clue in there, you know, something that maybe you haven't thought about with your patients. So they may give you a great idea of how to follow up with other referral sources. Maybe they've got some kind of system in place. So the other piece of this too is to always thank your referral source whenever, whether it turns into business or not. If you get a referral from someone, call them, text them, email them, little thank you, handwritten thank you note, maybe some brownies or cookies or something, you know, to go along with it when they, and this is whether it turns into business or not. Just let them know they like to hear that Mrs. Jones called you. They want to know that what they're doing is working and that it's reaching you. And you can't always bring cookies, brownies, but every once in a while, you know, add a little something with your thank you. Okay. Fifth impression is to ask for the business. You've built trust, confidence, your camaraderie, and proven reliability. It's time to ask for the business referrals. Why you shouldn't be afraid to ask for the business. This is the most terrifying piece of sales for everybody. This is the part everybody's afraid of. They hate it. So the best sales tactic to use is assume the referral is coming. You're not asking. You just assume that it's coming. How can you assume the referral is coming? Your referral sources have seniors that need home care and they need to send them somewhere, right? I mean, they all need home care. You know, I would say just about anyone leaving skilled nursing, anyone leaving a hospital, they need somebody home. Now they may have family, that's true, but most of them need some home care. So there's no place for fear then, because you're not talking somebody into something. So the fear of asking for the business in my experience in sales and my whole life has been rejection and talking someone into something maybe they don't need, you know, oh, get this car. It's beautiful. You know, it's shiny. You're talking them into something they don't need. Maybe they don't need a car right now. This is not the case here. There's no reason to be afraid because all you're doing is directing the referral. The referral has to happen anyway. Fear comes from talking somebody into doing something. That's not what you're doing here. So you got to change your mindset if that's what you're thinking. You provide a service your referral sources, patients, and residents need. So you aren't really asking for the business. You're directing their referrals. Not scary at all. Fear in asking for the business comes from rejection. You're not going to hear no. You're not going to hear nobody needs this. Your services will be considered because the need is there. All you're doing is taking a referral they have and directing it to you and your company. That's it. So if you're worried about that piece of it, try to think of it that way. And maybe it'll help. It'll help get rid of some of that fear for you. So now this is how the directing of the referral can take place. So maybe these impressions are happening in a progression, right? Most of the time it does. So maybe you had a face-to-face and then you had a couple of drop-offs. They saw you on Facebook. They got your newsletter. They got an email drip campaign. All of this stuff is going on. you haven't had a referral yet, right? And maybe you feel like you've done the trust, you've done the confidence, the camaraderie, the reliability, it's all done. You have to remember every time you see them, even if it's maybe email, text, that you're reconnecting. You can't just go in cold. They don't maybe remember that they trust you yet. They maybe don't remember that you're reliable in this moment. They've got a lot coming at them, and maybe it's been a month since I saw you. So you have to reconnect. And the only way to reconnect is to take good notes every time you go out, because you're not going to remember. I promise you, you're not. So take good notes, put them in the CRM. Before you walk into that building, send the email, text, whatever you're doing, read your notes thoroughly. There's going to be something there that you talked about. You have to tap back into whatever that was. They may have forgotten that they told you they have an 8-year-old daughter who plays soccer. And they know in their mind that they wouldn't share that with just anybody. They would share that with someone they trust, someone that's reliable. They're sharing their personal life. When you reconnect and open that up again for them, it automatically, their brain says, okay, I'm open to her because I told her about my daughter who plays soccer. There must be, even though I can't remember her right in this moment, I know that we're good because of this. I wouldn't have told her that. And I know they're not logically going through that in their brain, but that's what's going on behind the scenes. So take good notes, put them in the CRM each time you see someone. It is very crucial for the reconnecting to take place. You don't want to have to start all over again with step one, right? Impression one. You want to be where you left off. And the only way to do that is to start with what you talked about last time. Maybe last time you talked about a mutual client or something that was going on in their community or hospital. You know, sometimes they'll tell you, gosh, there's a new nurse. She's just awful. You know, I don't know how she's going to make it. I just don't know. Of course, you're not going to join negativity there. You're just going to say, is the new nurse working out? How's that going? Right? She's going to remember, oh, we're on this level. Okay. I remember her. We're on this level. Then you can continue and direct the referrals. It will help them remember you. It will help them remember they trust you. It will show them you care enough about them to remember what was going on last time you spoke. So now you're going to get this referral. Inquire, ask a question. You want to ask a question about their census, about their residence, about what's going on with the people in their building, because you want those people, right? So how's your census? Your parking lot's pretty full. You must be pretty busy. How busy are you? How long does a senior usually stay here? How many discharges do you have on a week to week? How big is your caseload? Are they mostly short-term or long-term? Start getting into the nitty-gritty with them, because now it's going to put them in a place of thinking about their patient load. They're going to think about, you know, what you're saying. Usually this kind of question gets them thinking about who's currently in the building. It will also give you some insight as their ability to refer to you. You may find that some case managers and social workers in some facilities have twice the caseload of others. If they say, yeah, I've got a caseload of 50 people. And then you go somewhere else and they tell you they've got a caseload of 75. The opportunity for referral is probably higher with the 75, unless they're all Medicaid. So you have to be like a little, you know, you got to take notes on all of this stuff. It will help you get referrals better and be in the right, be more effective. This fact finding is doing two things. They will start thinking about who is currently in their business, in their building that may need your services. And it will educate you about their specific patients and their needs. So now they're thinking about the people in their building. You're transitioning into directing their referral. Depending on the answers to the above questions, you can say, do you currently have any patients discharging this week that will need home care in place before they discharge? This is a smooth transition because you've already talked about their census. You've talked about how busy they are and how many discharges they have. I don't know which question you're going to ask, but any of those questions will just be a smooth transition to, is there anybody now? Is there anybody here now that I can help? Anybody here needs home care? So it can just be very smooth. It doesn't feel salesy. It doesn't feel icky. It's really a smooth transition. And when you're talking about census and you're talking about discharges already, you know, it just makes sense to just start directing that referral. So these are the different ways you can direct the referrals in different places with different types of referral sources. So hospitals, care centers, SNF, rehab. Do you currently have any patients discharging this week that will need home care in place before they discharge? this opens a conversation of how you can come there to sign the client. And I highly suggest you try to do that, because there's lots of free, I think I've talked about this before, but if you can sign somebody, and the social workers won't think about this, so you're going to have to plant the seed again. One, you want the referral. You don't want it going to someone else. So while you're right there in the building, wouldn't it be nice if you could just go down the hall and sign them up? The social worker is done with that part of her job. She doesn't have to think about home care anymore. You're going to go down and take care of it right now. This keeps the competitors out of the way. There's nobody else that's going to do this. You sign them up now. So the social worker's done. So that's peace of mind for them. The adult child who may be in town just for a little bit, peace of mind for them. It's done. And now you have more time to look for the caregiver. I mean, it's a win-win-win all the way around. Everybody's happy. So always offer to do that. Some of them will go, oh, you can do that? I didn't know you could do that. Be prepared to sign. Have your binder or whatever you need with you. In independent living, adult RV, senior living, this is what you can ask. Are there any current resident or tenants needing a little assistance with bathing, cooking, cleaning, or medication reminders? Is there anyone that seems lonely to you? So this is all independent living people, right? Or, you know, maybe you could say, has anybody just come home from the hospital? You know, they usually will know those things. Sometimes they'll say, yeah, but her daughter's here right now. But you know what? She's leaving in a couple of days. Maybe you should call them. Assisted living. Do you have any residents right now that need a little extra help because they've just had surgery? Or is there anyone on new medication that might be safer with one-on-one care until they adjust? Memory care. Do you have any current residents with sundowners that could benefit from having a caregiver with them to keep them company throughout the night? Or a resident that just needs a little bit of extra assistance when they move in until they adjust? So these are the kinds of ways to transition. This is the conversation. You've done all of the other impressions. You feel that it's time and you're ready. This is the talk you can have to get the referrals directed. Anybody have any questions? Make sense to everybody?
I don't have any right now, but if you do have questions or if you have an experience you'd like to share, be sure to put it in the chat or open up your microphone and we're welcome to share.
Yeah. Anybody want to share anything? You can unmute yourself.
Hi. It's Lorraine. Hi. So I just have a few, remarks and then questions. We're in an area where it's, you know, populated with a lot of other agencies. And consistently, we've been trying, we're going out, we have 5 skilled nursing facilities that we go to. But I find that a lot of these social workers already have, you know, agencies that they work with. They've already established that. So my question is it okay to offer your partners or your, you know, the people that you're working with, like a commission? Is it okay to act to, you know, offer that? Because that's part of, you know, building that relationship. And a lot of times it's also like, what is it? What's in it for me, you know? Because it does better when they feel like they're also getting something from you. I mean, you're helping them, you're taking cases off of their shoulders, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of the times I feel as though there's a lot of, you know, it's almost as if they have their group of people that they work with. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how to overcome some of these things. I'm asking, is it okay to say, you know, if I'm going to offer you this, so-and-so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's not okay. So social workers and mostly social workers, I'm sure case managers too, but it's usually social workers that do the discharging. They've done like a code of ethics. They've taken a code of ethics, not like the president, but I mean, they have agreed to not be bribed, to not be swayed, and to open up all the sources that are out there to the seniors. So a piece of getting in front of them, Lorraine, there's a video about how to get into a skilled nursing facility. I don't know if you've seen that one or if you were here for that, but you know, we went through it just a little bit, but is the fact that they need to know about your company, because they are supposed to know all the resources available, and you can't say it that way to them, but they know that that's what they've agreed to do. So you have to have something that's different about your company. What makes you different? What makes you stand out compared to the other? I'm in Arizona, super saturated. I mean, the competition here is fierce because the snowbirds, right? They're here, they move here. So a lot of home care companies, I think there's over, we're probably close to more than 1,000 now. So it's in my area. So you have to find your competitive edge, and you have to, you know, continually to the front desk person, make friends with that gatekeeper, continually say, my company's different because I want to make sure she knows about this so she can share this with her patients. And continually, you know, saying that kind of language helps her to understand, you know, you're a different resource. You have a different kind of, there's something different about your home care company. It's, you know what home care is. I know you understand home care, but we are different because that will help you get in. The other thing that the pumpkin decorating contest that we're doing, that might help you to get in front of them and get them to see you. I don't know if you've seen the video on that. That's another way, you know, you're getting in front of them, giving them a pumpkin. Maybe you want to go in and decorate pumpkins with their residents or their patients in skilled nursing with the activities director and invite the social worker, bring some cookies, play some scary music, and do that together. I know it can be really hard when they have their place, right? They have their people that they refer to. But they do need to have other people in their back pocket. And maybe you'll be the second one. Maybe they can't staff it and you'll be the second one. Talk to them about the labor shortage. Talk to them about how your competitors are sending you clients because they can't staff. And that'll start placing some doubt in her mind about the people she's using, or at least, man, I better have a backup plan. If it's that tight out there, maybe, you know, I should use Lorraine a couple times, test her out. Because if these people can't staff it, I'm going to need to send them somewhere. So there's a lot of things you can do. Does that answer your question? Does that help?
Yeah, it helps. I mean, we do get, you know, the face-to-face visits. We, when we stop in, when we send emails, we get responses. And I'm glad you said, you know, out of that whole every 7 to 10 days, we ought to be seeing them. Yep. Sometimes it's just a follow-up email or a call. We're not able to go in every week.
That's okay.
So that helps. I think it's just a matter of like continually doing it as you're saying. It's not coming in fast enough. And I thought maybe there was a way to.
It's really hard too, because you can go in and don't let this hurt your. It's hard. Like you go in and you sit in their office and you see like 30 home care brochures, right, mm-hmm. on their desk behind them. And you think, why am I even here? My God,
right.
Like, this is crazy. So always bring them a brochure rack to put your brochures in. So you're front and center. You're not in a desk drawer somewhere. You know, the discharge package, putting together a discharge package that always worked well for us when we got slow. We would put together like a flat rate discharge package. We wouldn't put the rate on the sheet, but I would say, I have a great discharge package. The seniors are loving it. Social workers are loving it. I would love 5 minutes to show it to you. And then, you know, she'll write down what it costs, but you know, you can do a flat rate. You know, it depends on where you are, you know, maybe $895, they get 7 days of service. It's not 24-hour care, but someone's going to lay eyes on that senior every day for 7 days. And that puts good peace of mind for everybody. The seniors like it because it's a flat rate. Social workers like it. You can also talk about working within their budget. You know, that will help get you in the door. You know, I'm sure that the social worker hears from their, but you know, the seniors that they've referred, their buddy home care companies, the seniors are like, God, they're expensive. That's expensive. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So if you come in saying, I work within their budget, that doesn't mean you're giving them a discount. It doesn't mean you're discounting your services. You're just going to the senior, and you don't have to tell the social worker this. They should stay out of the money part of it. You sit down with the senior and say, how much do you have a month for home care? They tell you, maybe they have $1,500. Figure out a schedule, $1,500 a month. What can you give them? How many hours can you give them within that flat rate? So working within a budget helps. We talked about that a little bit last week. We even have a handout that we created. Attach it to a little calculator, helps them remember that you're going to work within the senior's budget. It makes you warm and fuzzy. And if they have, you know, heard that there are places they're referring to are expensive, they might try you out for that, just for that reason. So those are some ideas. I hope that helps.
It helps. Thank you, Dawn.
You're welcome.
I would recommend that if you haven't done it yet, go back and watch Dawn's. You have to log in to the portal, the private portal. But if you go in and you watch the videos that we did on breaking into the SNF, breaking into independent living, breaking into assisted living, when you watch those, she gives a huge amount of stuff we don't have time for in a whole, it's like a whole meeting on just that. So yeah. It's an awesome resource. So log into that portal and you'll have more than enough ideas. Okay. But yeah, there's a safe harbor law too, for anyone who does accept Medicare or Medicaid. If there is something called the safe harbor law, and those organizations, including you, if you accept Medicare or Medicaid, can get in big trouble for accepting any kind of commission. And that may not necessarily be true for assisted living. I know they pay you commission if you place someone there. So that's a different scenario. But in home health care, be very careful with money. That can get you into a boatload of legal trouble, especially if your competition finds out about it.
Oh, yeah. They'll bury you.
Yeah, they will. They will report you in a minute. Yeah. Now, little gifts that we talk about, no big deal. Under $10, awesome.
Okay.
But any kind of referral fee even offered could be a real turnoff to a case manager or social worker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I add something really quick?
Sure.
I don't know if this is encouraging or discouraging, but I have had experience with some facilities that I know that could be very good for us. And it's taken us years to get into it. And to be honest, there is one facility that I was about to give up because it's been 2 years that we've been working at it. And the last two things I did was the Independent Day, little flags and little things that you guys suggested, and the Honeybee Day. And I got an email from the administrator right after that Honeybee Day saying, "We're so sorry we keep missing you when you come in." I mean, I asked for them, but they're busy. Right. Mm-hmm. And we would love to have a meeting with you and get to know you in person. And that was after 2 years of doing similar things, at least a couple of times a month, once a month. I will drop off a gift. I will drop off a lunch, you know, at some point I talked to the activities director and drop off a lunch, you know, and it's been a lot of investment. I'm only doing it because I know it could be an A account, but it could be, I know, both encouraging and discouraging, but I just think if you can stop at least once a month with one of these great little gifts, it makes a difference.
Yeah, that's great, Rebecca. It's definitely a process, and 2 years sounds like a really long time, but it's worth it when the referrals do start coming in. And sometimes it takes that long for them to let go of a partnership that's not working.
Right. And sometimes it's not like I really need to go out of the way. This rehab center is within an assistant independent living facility that has a medical center, and they refer to us. So if it's a facility that you don't have to go miles out of your way, but you're already really close by, just drop off one of these little gifts. Make them, you know, sometimes it feels a little bit like a UPS driver, honestly, like you're dropping off gifts, you don't get to see people.
Yeah. It's
discouraging. But I have experiences with other places that it does pay off. Like they said, "Oh yeah, I got your gift the day that I needed help," and they sent a 24/7 case. You never know.
You never know.
That's, and it was discouraging. I just drop off the gift, the little thing. I went home. It's like, I felt like I did nothing today. Mm-hmm. And they call it with that. So I know it can be discouraging, but I'm trying to show you the encouraging part of it.
Yeah. I think that's great, great wisdom, Rebecca, because you do sometimes feel like, why am I even bothering? I've been going and nothing. But keep your head up and keep doing it, and eventually it'll pay off. Okay. Anybody else have anything?
We just had a little bit of chat going on about, can I offer commissions to other home care agencies for referrals, not to the social worker? And my response is, I would be very careful about offering money to anyone for cases.
Yeah, probably not. I think it's better to just refer back and forth with other home care companies, start that partnership so that maybe you don't have a caregiver this week, they start the case for you and you jump in and, you know, continue the case, and vice versa. Maybe they get stuck and you start the case for them, and then they come in and finish or continue the case on. So
I worked with a lawyer for a long time who represents, I guess she still does, home care agencies in litigation. And she would tell you 100%, of course, she's a lawyer, so she has responsibility to tell you the exact right legal beagle. And she would tell you, absolutely not. Absolutely not. She's represented too many home care agencies who have been sued to the hilt and closed their businesses because a competitor snitched on them because they were giving kickback. It's called the anti-kickback law. And they were giving money to somebody in some organization for referrals and eventually got caught by rumors and people talk and somebody tells somebody and then they change jobs and they know that they used to be getting money from you and they tell on you. I mean, it's just, you know, there's too much risk involved in doing stuff like that. And it's also illegal. So in most cases, it's different when you're talking about a place for mom and it's a contract and it's a fee for a lead that closes. There's differences there and they're not a Medicare or Medicaid provider. So anyway, there are differences there. However, the common answer for all money is going to be no.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I would agree. Oh, you're up.
And by the way, Rebecca, thank you. I am so glad that whether it was the honeybees or the 4th of July or the combo or everything you've done for the last 2 years for that organization, I'm so glad that you opened their eyes and they woke up and asked for a meeting with you. I think that's amazing. It just, you know, if you look at everything we've presented to you and you go back and look at all the October opportunities that you have, which those October opportunities I've already listed inside the CRM, and we will provide some online stuff for that. But we've already talked about October a lot, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. But those opportunities for you to do something besides Halloween, Halloween's great, do it. But something besides Halloween is an awesome opportunity for you to set yourself apart. Being memorable is what it's all about here. Okay, so my job is to help you understand more about the online marketing for 5 Impressions, the online part. And I want to show you some examples of what other people are doing out there. And this is somebody that does a fabulous job in one of the most competitive markets in the history of the world. She's in Florida. So as you can imagine, no matter where you are, Florida is always going to be, Florida, New York, California, Virginia, Northern Virginia, all extremely competitive. Everywhere is extremely competitive. But, you know, Florida is going to be insane. So having said that, when it comes to camaraderie, this gal takes the cake. She is always attending, coming up with stuff that she can do for someone else. So you see on the left-hand side, she attended, I guess what it was called, private duty. It's a vendor fair. So, you know, anybody can do a vendor fair. That's cute. You can see how cute she's got her booth set up. And when you talk about camaraderie, excuse me, she took a picture with somebody from another organization there or from the UF Health organization that organized this vendor fair. And then on the right-hand side, you can see what they did for Harbor Chase of Gainesville, which is probably either independent or memory care or assisted living, and it's probably private pay. But looks like they came to her office. They donated this dog. This is, if you have never seen one of these, it's a mechanical dog, but it's cute and it really does. It's just adorable. And you can buy these, you can buy a dog or a cat, and they're really good for Alzheimer's patients. Robotherapy pets. They're super cute. So anyway, they're about $100 each, and that's why maybe a little more than that. And that's why, you know, you can't afford to buy bunches of them. But she donated one. This is camaraderie. This gal from Harbor Chase of Gainesville will not forget touching hearts at home. Absolutely will not forget them. Now, I am not saying that you need to donate a robo dog that costs $100 to an organization. I am certain that she has known this person a long time and has done some business with them. This isn't a one-off, we've never met before, come let me give you a robo dog. This is a friendly camaraderie that has been around for a long time. So, but this is all about community outreach, camaraderie. She posts this on her Facebook page, and notice what she did. She tagged Harbor Chase of Gainesville. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this after you've established a long-term relationship. And Touching Hearts of Gainesville is fabulous. If you see Touching Hearts at Home of Gainesville, if you go to their Facebook page and like their page just to get good ideas, they do an amazing job with this kind of stuff. You have to scroll through it a little bit to see all the different things, but she'll go through spurts where she'll post a bunch of stuff. And it's just amazing. So be sure to check that out. That is camaraderie at its best. Jennifer asks, how about gift cards? We were planning on handing out gas cards at a conference for geriatric case managers. Will handing cards out in this environment be frowned upon also? It depends on the amount of the gas card. I mean, you're really not supposed to do that, but the rule of thumb is that gifts should be under $10. And that's kind of weird for a gas card. You're only giving them like a gallon of gas. So it's kind of hard. However, it depends on your relationship with them. It depends on, I'd say if they're, you know, I don't know. It's so hard. A lawyer would tell you, don't do it. I would tell you, keep it under $25 or $25 and under. I don't know. It's hard.
If it's at a conference, it could get around to the other vendors might be like, they're giving away gas cards. Wow. You know, I don't know. That's a bordering. I don't know if I would do that just because it's at a conference and everyone else who's not giving out gift cards is going to, you know, they're going to be like, they might.
It depends on how much they're worth too. I mean, like I said, you know, well, hey, if it was 1975, they give them $10 worth of gas. So it'd be great. You could do $10, right? But now it's like, well, yeah. It might be, what would be another thing that you could do? There's probably a few other things that you could do that would be fun, but maybe not so expensive or seemingly so expensive. Ice cream, you know, I don't know if there's a local ice cream place. I don't know. If you're at a conference at an event place where they have vendors, like food vendors, maybe give them a, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to come up with something that's cool and fun right here. But also if you have a good relationship with anybody else who's attending, ask them, what are you guys doing as a kind of a gift? Are you just doing pens and notepads or are you giving them gift cards? What is somebody else doing?
You can do like a drawing too.
You could do a drawing for a big gift card. For a
big something, something really big that they can go do.
About two gift cards, two or three maybe, that are of like a, you know, $50 each. A nice gift like an insulated bottle or insulated coffee mug with a $5 or $10 Starbucks gift card so they can get their own drink. Yeah, that kind of stuff would work.
The drawing's nice too, because you get all their business cards, right? You have all their contact information. So we always kind of did a drawing. The owner wanted to give $100 cards to good relationship prospects. I like the drawing I did much better. Give individuals.
You're giving them lunch bags and just give a lunch few, bag, and just do a drawing. Yeah. Do a drawing. That way it just seems like it's kind of random and not specific to any one person.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That would be good. Yeah, you can make it work. It's just, and I get it that it's $100 is great. Like that might fill up my big old giant family travel van. So that's a good gas card.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay, we can switch the.
I had an idea this kind of when you were talking about the camaraderie in some, you know, in a building or something, something that we did years ago when I was, I had little kids. I got with my daughter's school teacher and asked if there would be a way to do a field trip to a skilled nursing facility so the children could see the seniors. You know, I was thinking about the therapy dog. I know that's not the same thing, but it brought my brain here. And so we did. I went on the field trip with them and I brought them into my top three referral source SNFs. They're all next door to each other. It was very easy. We went in, we visited, they sang, it went off great. It was so, I don't know if you have that opportunity. maybe some kids at church. I mean, the seniors, when children walk in, some started crying. I mean, they don't see kids anymore, right? And they just get, you know, they start reaching out to them. We did warn the children ahead of time that this was going to happen because that's creepy. Sometimes for the kids, it's scary for them. You know, when they walk in, we wanted them to know what to expect so they didn't react strangely, right? But it went off really, really, really great. So if that's an idea too, you know, if you don't have the robotic dog or whatever, a group of children, they're very happy to see a group of children. And it was great. My daughter enjoyed it. The kids loved it. The seniors loved it. Everybody loved it. The referral sources loved it. So just another idea.
Yeah. If your state is COVID open, I mean, you know, everybody's kind of relaxed on that. I don't know if they let a big group in, but probably they do now. I know that high school choirs and Girl Scout groups do go to senior facilities. So if you can't get the school to agree to it, you might reach out to some of your brownie groups, Girl Scout groups. Girl Scouts are a little older, so they would be a little bit more in tune to understanding the reaction. But if they have the little Girl Scout sashes on and stuff, that's so cute. And they could bring brownies or bring, you know, make sure you get it all arranged. And what can they do? But singing is lovely. So I know that in the Christmas time, the choirs around here from the high schools will go and sing, or even the little kids will, you know, go music class, go and sing. The one thing I know, I'm in a small school district and money's an issue. So if they're going to do a field trip like that, somebody has to foot the bill for the bus. I know that sounds crazy. In big school districts, it's probably not an issue at all. But in our school district, it is, you know, the money to get people from point A to point B is an issue. So, we would offer to donate, you know, $100 toward the bus and the bus driver, cause you're only talking about like an hour or two. And it's local, but we would do that to get to the school, not to the, So those are awesome ideas. And September is intergenerational month, by the way. So anytime you can kind of mix kids with those seniors, they absolutely love it. Okay. Next, proving reliability in person and online. Okay. Reliability comes down to testimonials, right? So you're in person, you're there, you're always following up, you're doing the right thing. But if you have testimonials online on your website, on your Google My Business page, that is the reliability that people are looking for. And I'm not saying that the social workers are necessarily going to go look at your website each time, but I think, Dawn, you talked about a case where somebody asked you, what does their website look like? Or something like that when you were marketing. Because if the website is janky,
they are looking. And if they only look because the adult children are looking and come back with feedback. So yeah, it's very important that, and the referrals or the reviews on there are super important. That definitely will set you apart from the others.
Yes. So if you, So this is from our friends at Home Care Matters. I just grabbed a bunch of reviews off their site. It's hard to get Google reviews. So most of us don't have as many Google reviews as we do like ones in writing or ones that people send us an email. So all of you, by the way, if you're already our client, this already exists for you. But if you're not our client, like in one of our programs, then you can go to approvedseniornetwork.com and you can sign up for a free listing and you can put all the reviews that anyone's ever sent you on there. It's not going to limit you. You don't have to be at a certain IP address. Nobody has to log in. You can do that. So what we do is for the people that send in reviews via email, they're never going to go to Google or Facebook and leave a review. We put them on Approved Senior Network for our clients. And there's like a little widget that we can put on their website that gives the, that shows all the reviews that are there. So it's not just the Google reviews that you can show, but you can also show what, and I think caring.com and care.com does this too. They have a widget you can add to your website that shows your reviews. Probably Yelp does too. I'm not a Yelp fan, but you know, so show your reviews, show them. And if you have to print out that page and like hand it to somebody, I mean, I don't know, do whatever you can, but this is a great way. The other thing about reviews, not just on review sites, but if somebody in our, who is our client, if somebody who is our client sends us a review, we blog post it, it goes out in their next newsletter, it shows up on their social media. So it's not just about putting them on Google or Facebook or some other place. You need to put it in the place where other people are going to find it. Nobody's searching around 5,000 places to find your reviews. Put it all in one place. Put it on your blog. Shout it out on social media. Put quotations around it. Make it an image. I mean, whatever you need to do, take the names off of it. Just use initials. So you're protecting people's privacy. And there you go. You're good. Somebody says, oh, Cassie, I will send you that link. I'm sorry. It's actually a little piece of code. I will send it. And then John says, my marketer mentioned she was at an event where one of the speakers mentioned that companies are being sued if their website is not ADA compliant. This is a controversial, but your website should be ADA compliant. And if you looked at any of the websites that we've built, I guess in the last couple of years, you would see that all of them have ADA compliance. And what does that mean? There's a little wheelchair icon on the side, and you can make the text bigger. You can make it a different color. You can do, you know, so just know this, every single person that comes to your website, every consumer is coming there either because they have an issue or because their family member has an issue. And who knows what that issue is, but if they have, if they're visually impaired for any reason, your website needs to accommodate those people.
You want me to show it, Valerie?
Can you see? Okay. Yeah, there's elderly caregivers. So right, see the here. Little wheelchair? So click on that. You can increase text, decrease grayscale, high contrast, negative contrast. So people who are colorblind or have some certain visual impairments, will use these. Now, these also are on Google Chrome. To be honest with you, they could do that. They, if they're impaired, they know how to do this on their own. However, small businesses, not just home care, are being sued occasionally for not having this kind of stuff. There's other things that you can also do to make your website ADA compliant. It's called skip text, and there's a bunch of them. But anyway, so we do this for our clients to make sure that they have at least met the minimum requirements. And, you know, there's a lot of requirements with ADA. So it's craziness. But you're right. Some people have gotten sued for it. In our case, as an industry, everybody is impaired in some way that we work with, right? All of our clients. So it's important that you remember that. I'm not saying that's a reason to rebuild your website, but I am saying it's a reason to not use a fly-by-night product or service. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Thank you, John. Okay, so I put together a couple of emails regarding asking for the business. What can we do? Okay, so I can put these in a Word document for you. You may want to rephrase these, but I just put a couple of ways that you can ask for the business if you don't have time to go in, or you've been around a lot and you just haven't had time today and you know you want to stay in touch. So the first one is, what can we do for you? Hi, Peter. We noticed we haven't heard from you in a while. We've been working hard at ABC Home Care to help seniors stay safe at home. And we want to make sure that we checked in. If you have any questions for us or need any help with our service, please don't hesitate to let us know. We've been working on a few things that we know would be helpful for you. Oh, helpful to you. And if you do have a product or service, maybe you've talked to them about it in the past, but they're not going to remember your discharge package, any of those things, list them here. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me via this email. I'll be sure to give a quick response. Cheers, your name. And then maybe you want to put a link to your testimonials. Check out what our happy customers say about ABC Home Care. And you can link that or put a link below that line to your testimonials page. So asking for the business, you're saying, hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. What can we do to get your business? And then the next one is, Friday discharges are a specialty. Now, Dawn has said this before. She's talked about this, be prepared to take Friday discharges. If you want to get anything, be prepared. So hi, referral source name. I hope this email finds you well. I want to touch base as we have been enjoying working with you on the last several discharges referred to us. And we have also been able to work through challenges such as late Friday discharges and finding a way to make the transition to home as smooth as possible for your patients. This is all to say that with our deep understanding of your needs, we would be happy to work with you and your patients. Man, I didn't read these. Happy to work with you and your patients on future discharges. We have the time and the caregivers to provide excellent services. or excellent service. Please keep us in mind as the weekend approaches. We love Friday discharges. Mm-hmm. And that's other than the typos, that's really asking for the
business. They will test you. They will. That's the testing of the reliability. Ready. They are going to test you. Yep.
Okay. So I'll put those in a Word document and we'll put those on the website. Okay. Case management. Caring is what we do. Rebecca asked us to go through this. So case management week is October 9 through 15. Here's what they are have come up with. This is their theme. So you kind of want to stick with their theme because your case managers are going to know this. Caring, it's what we do. Their recommendations are to host a luncheon, write thank you cards. I think that's a great idea, handwritten thank you cards. Surprise your team with gift bags. They mean you would maybe you surprise their team with gift bags. Present awards. I don't think that's really your call, but you know, assign a daily theme. That's kind of for the case management team. Plan giveaways and drawings. That would be good. We just talked about that. Gift this year's case management t-shirt and designate a day to wear it. Well, they want to sell you some swag on this website. So you can't, or you don't have to do that, but that's kind of their celebration guide. Just know it's October 9 through 15. And then Dawn gave me a link and I think this can be used for anything, but if you're putting together, I'll put this in a Word document so it's bigger or give you a link to the act. This is, comes from an actual article. These are just cute things you could put like with a bag of candy, like a 100 grand bar. Thank you so much. Your grand baby Rue. Thanks, baby. You're the best. That might be weird. Big hunk. Hey, big hunk. You're the greatest. That also might be weird. Boston baked beans. I've been meaning to tell you thanks. That's cute. So, you know, you get it. These are all really cute and kind of go along with the candy that you provide. I like Peeps. Some people hate Peeps. Thank you. Of all the Peeps, you're my fave. So anyway, this is cute any time of the year, but if you're looking for something specific to case management, other than baby and big hunk, this might be really good.
There's some really fun things you can do with this. I found this and I was like, when you're brain dead and you just, you know, want something quick and easy, there's something on here that'll get your juices going.
Oh, I like the Sour Patch. Thanks for your help during my Sour Patch. You're the best. That is so cute. Even if, wait, I don't know if you want to have a Sour Patch, but Sugar Daddy, thank you, Sugar. You're wonderful. No, that's weird.
I like the red vines. You're divine. Thank you. You know, about being divine. That's a cute one. So.
Your help was jaw-dropping. Thanks so much. Your referral was jaw-dropping. I better jolly well say thanks, Jolly Ranchers. Anyway. I'll put these also as downloads, a download so you can, or a link, so you can see all of these. These are super cute and really inexpensive. Yes. Again, another way to set yourself apart, just on a whim. It may not be case management week, or maybe it is, you know, whatever. And these are easy stuff that you can do in big bulk amounts. So, all right, that's it. Where is that handout again? Go to our online portal or go to the Facebook group. So online portal is www.homecaremarketingmastermind.com. And then the Facebook group, I put it in the chat. If you click on that link, it'll take you right to the group. You can request to be added. Again, if you invite people and we don't know them and they have no reference to working for you and their name isn't the same on Facebook, we'll probably deny them only because it's private and we have no idea who they are. So be sure to send us a list of names. Otherwise, anybody else have any questions? Questions? All right. Next week, I'm on my own. Let's see if I can live up to the amazing standards of Dawn Fiala for the mastermind next week. She's going to be out of town for a few days next week and enjoying herself. And I'm going to be the Friday girl. So... I will see you next week, everyone. All right.
Bye. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.